a long time. Yeah, I haven't been able to come to Wilmington to Bar 13. I really want to go there again. Yeah, I'm just sort of stuck in Jersey with that's all. Yeah, I want to go there because I'm friends with Paul. I want to go there. I haven't been there yet. That's good. I really want to go there. Where in Jersey is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to definitely get there because I know there's a lot of people that go to that. And yeah, it's...
That's a glorious mic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how long have you been doing stand-up for now?
3 years.
Oh. Yeah, what I always love about your stuff is you're very silly on stage, which is great. And it seems like you really... like, make the most of your time on stage.
Well, I try.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to do, you know? Like, at mics, you only get, like, a finite amount of time. It's, like,
yeah.
It's tough, you know? But that's really cool. Like, I just always liked how your stuff is very silly but dark. And I was curious, like, who were your sort of influences that made you want to do stand-up?
Did we start yet?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Look a minute ago.
I always liked Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Always liked Chris Rock.
Oh, Bob, yeah.
Williams, Eddie Murphy. They were all some of my favorite comedians growing up. Robin Williams was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed him and Jim Carrey. They always had a profound influence on a lot of, you know, what I thought was funny as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I must have, like, memorized his whole set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I watched it so many times.
Right.
Baby, you know, it's just, you know, that's what it was. So I enjoyed it and took a lot of influences from a lot of different comedians like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is great. Like, it really depends on, like, where you sort of, like, listen to comedy, because there are so many great people, and that just, like, run of people that you mentioned is just, like, amazing. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, just watching the different evolution of comedy, of what I felt was funny then and now, and how watching some of these other comedians evolve their sets, it's been a good thing to watch.
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating and cool things to me about stand-up, is seeing people evolve and seeing their acts grow and how people change. Like, and just how they get better, you know? It's the coolest thing when you see a comic for the first time, and then, like, 6 months later, you're like, holy shit, they're good now.
Yeah, a lot of it's confidence.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Another aspect is also not wanting to be that trans comedian and just being the comedian.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine that that's probably pretty difficult, you know, just with identity and stuff. Like, already as a comic, we already identify ourselves so much with being a comedian. It's like having something else on top of that must be difficult. Right, yeah.
There's so much in the news.
Right.
It's been a struggle to get past some of those things where
Right.
And just shut down. Some even leave.
Yeah. It's...
And that's definitely not easy. So a lot of
people... No, that must be crushing. You know, it's... I've had a few, like, trans comics on, and it's always just, like... I always feel so bad for people who are, like, kind of marginalized, like, women in comedy. It's, like, everything, really. I just always wish that we were more ahead of the times than we already are. And,
A lot of it also comes down to relatability. It's hard for some people to relate. So, my life experiences back in the early, you know, 2000s, late
90s. Right. And also, I don't want to, like, infer anything. This is just from what I've seen. It's also you kind of can deal with the opposite, too, right? You can deal with people kind of being too sensitive, too, right? Because a lot of your stuff is pretty dark. And, like it's kind of like the double-edged sword of, like, people are trying to be inclusive, but it's like, what's the word? Like, it's like slowing things down. Like... Right.
Our job.
Right. Right. Right.
You go there and you gotta know, like, oh, you know what? Let's not do that material.
Right.
So, it's definitely, it's funny to me. I did that for a reason. I did the first, like, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of my set without saying anything. I never enjoyed the set. I mean, it wasn't like getting paid for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always feel like you take a good approach to it. I've always loved your attitude towards it. And it's a tough thing, I can imagine. So, like, to be able to be that, like, double tough of, like, no, I'm going to do this material. And it's, like, going to work. It's, like, that's a lot to do.
I mean, every comedian struggles with that as well.
Yeah.
Just in that
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I've seen it happen to a few people. Myself, I at least I go in knowing that a large portion of the audience is going to tune me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do that. That's, I think I have to be better and do better. Because I also need to have those jokes that are just not even bringing up, not even talking about it. Just be my
right.
So that's good as well. Because again, it all comes down to relatability.
Right. Is your family supportive of comedy and what you've been doing and everything with that?
Yeah, for the most part, my family's been really, really supportive. Almost any aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's also, you know, very rewarding when you bring the house down because you'll feel a high that no drug can replicate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't done many drugs, but it's just like that feeling is so amazing just to have that time. And it's really just a cool thing to be like, oh, wow, I did that. I made really something out of nothing. That's like the coolest part of it, I think. Is like you go up there basically like nothing. You're just like a normal, like you're just a person that people don't know most of the time. And then it's like, well, I can do this. And right. Yeah. I mean, social media is a huge thing, too. Yeah, that's a big thing. I still only have a few videos up. You know, it's so tough to decide how you're going to put stuff up. And, you know, to me, I'm always, like, going back and forth on what I should post and how much and, you know. What's your philosophy with that? Do you just usually like to not do that?
I'm a perfectionist, so no joke I ever do will ever be good enough for me.
Right.
So it's hard for me to put up anything on any social media because I'm always refining, always tweaking. What I thought was funny today, that joke might be completely different trying to find the best laughs in a month or two. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On Instagram, stuff like that, because at that point, it doesn't ruin the bulk of your material mm-hmm. for people to want to go and see the show and
right.
go the joke. But also, it's also a good way to see, be in the moment and tell jokes from the hip as opposed to, you know, the memorized routine.
Oh, yeah. I'm always envious of people who can do crowd work really well. Like, I can't do it that well, so it's a thing that I always think is good. I just think it can be, it gets a bad rep nowadays because of how many people do it for social media, but it still like is a good quality to have and a skill to have. Just right. 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 Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're gonna lose the audience, you're not addressing it. So,
yep.
And it's good practice for that.
It can be so tough also to, like, for me at least, like, I always vary of, like, when I started out and got, like, heckled, I would leave right away because I always felt bad about offending people. And now, like, the only bad thing is, like, I can be a little bit too mean in response now. And it's like, you got to find that happy medium where you can shut a heckler down, but you don't lose the audience of being on your side. Oh, yeah. Stage presence and, like, confidence is the hardest part because you just want to be able... I think from my perspective, I just always want to show that I can do it. I have really bad social anxiety, so that kind of comes off, like, in a weird way where I have to sort of explain a lot that I'm not shy as a person. I'm just not comfortable in social situations. So it's like I can do this, but you have to give me like a second.
One of the funniest things I've ever saw you do
mm-hmm.
was not intentional.
Oh, probably not.
Mm-hmm. You were getting on stage and you're trying to take off your jacket, but for the life of you couldn't take your dang jacket off.
Oh.
You're struggling so hard to take this jacket off. I'm just like, yo, this guy is pure money.
Yeah.
I've never laughed so hard at anything in my life.
I don't mind that. Like, to me, I've always been a very eccentric person. And just, like, it's just a thing that I've always had to deal with. And, like, you know, it's just, you gotta find the good parts in it and that people like some of that stuff, you know? It's like... Yeah.
You know, like, he made a whole career out of being the awkward character.
Yeah.
So, in that case, I mean, I thought that's kind of what you were doing, and I was like...
Yeah. I wish that it was that way. It's always weird. There's always stuff that I'm doing, like, unintentionally that is funny to people. And I'm like, I gotta figure out a way to capitalize on that more. Yeah, I always liked Bar 13 because it was like Funha style in a way. Like, people were just, like, you could just do, also, crowds were good there, of, like, they didn't get offended by anything, and I'm not, like, a person that complains about, like, people being offended or anything, but it's just cool to have that, like, that thing of, like, oh, wow, I can do these jokes that I don't usually do, or do at all, and be, like, have some room to explore and be, like, okay. And... also, it's, like, it's fine. My only experience there was really, like, not in a mean way, but, like, you have to be, like, on it when you're there. So, like, other, you know, comedians are most likely to heckle you there than any other place I've experienced.
Yeah, and that's also the first place where I started exploring talking a little bit.
Right. Right.
So if I now can piggyback off of what the comic before me said,
yeah,
that helps bring that along. And Bar 13 has helped me see that, because you get into a camaraderie with some of these comedians.
Oh, yeah.
And they know you're doing it not out of spite or malice.
Right.
But from a comedic place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of the coolest things, too, is just the people that you meet and the different, just through the years, how that always flows. And it's always cool to have those things. I went to an open mic on Tuesday, and there was, like, 20 people there. And it was, like, a couple people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I was like, this feels like a season premiere of, like, a TV show where all the characters are here. Because it's interesting, because we have our personalities on stage, and then we have our personalities off stage, and that changes a little bit with, you know, just the context of being off stage. So.
It definitely did. Like, one of my friends, Otis.
Yeah, Otis, yeah.
He was such a good friend of mine, and a lot of people, you know, did not like Otis, I was finding out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With the sunglasses on and saying some of the damnedest things you'll ever hear.
Right.
You know, sometimes offensive things, sometimes...
Right.
And, I mean, and you're like, wow, this guy can be a piece of shit.
Right.
You know, if you're going from a
Yeah. We have a guy,
judging him. Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that with...
You can't. Because I noticed with him, he puts sunglasses on and he becomes that character.
Right.
Because this sweet, really nice guy, and then puts his glasses on. And he taught me how to, like, you know what? Sometimes you have to be up to that next level.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people judge him from that voice, not from the man that he is, the nice guy that he is.
Right.
And he taught me that.
Yeah. We have a similar guy in our scene in the Jersey Shore area. He's a young guy. He's a young Italian guy. And he's the same way, where it's like, he'll say the most awful, like, offensive things on stage, but he's like a really sweet guy. And I always want to, like, remind people that he's gonna say some of the worst, like, stuff that you probably heard, but he's a really good guy. So there's always that, but I always think, like, that's the one thing that's kind of like, because it is a sort of a similar thing with, you know, I don't know if you ever did you do any acting or theater or anything?
Yes.
Oh, really? What was that like? Right.
It's easy for me to step into another person, because growing up I hated the person I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made it easy to learn pretending to be, I don't know, happy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and even myself is complex, because right now I'm very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speech, where it can get me more excited, more this, more loose. I'll have a whole different tone, a whole different dialect, pretty much.
Right. Right, so was this in, like, school that you did, like, a couple plays and stuff or anything like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started in improv when I started doing comedy, so I did that for, like, 7-8 years, and it was never, like, anything that I really wanted to do. It was just, there was no stand-up in my sort of area for me to get started in, so that was what I had to do, but... It really prepares you to be on stage and be like, okay, I can fail on stage and learn how to do that. That's a very, like, that's an upside to it, I feel. Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really helped a lot. Like, I couldn't do, like, characters and voices. I was always not happy with that. But the one thing that I loved is that I could at least, like, exist. And, like, if we did, like, a scene or something, I wouldn't, like, completely, like, break down and not be able to do it. I'd be like, okay, I can kind of make bullshit my way through things. But I've kind of done that all my life, is bullshit my way through everything. Yeah. Yeah, so I also saw, like, I've seen a little bit of, you do, like, VR stuff, right?
I have,
yes. Did you do that a lot with comedy stuff, like, during COVID?
That's where I started, really.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they went to VR.
Right. That's good.
It was good to get immediate feedback on the jokes that you're working on.
Yeah, I wish I had gotten into that. That would have been probably good for me, because I never did any of the Zoom stuff. I was, like, kind of hesitant towards that, because I like live performing, and it's always been my way of figuring out material, is, like, I need the reactions of people. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay. I'm probably not holding it close enough to me. Yeah. But, I was just saying I never really did that. And I wish I did VR, because that would have probably been good to, rather than doing Zoom, which I never did.
it's still out there, you know? They still do my shows in VR. Failed to Render is one of the groups that I recommend. And I like it. It's not a perfect system.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see all the act outs.
Right.
You can't see all the motions. But it's a great place to work out new material.
Right. Yeah, I mean, on top of that, like, when you do a lot of physical stuff on stage, it seems like you are able to put a lot of effort into that. Is that something that just comes natural, or is that something that you've practiced? Mm-hmm. Right.
And as long as, again, that comes to the make it relatable, you know. And, well, if you look at, like, Eddie Murphy, you know, when he's talking about the ice cream
shop. Oh, yeah.
You see him on stage talking about ice cream, you know, and he breaks it down like he's a kid playing marbles first. And you can visually see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Just.
And you can even say that many words, and, you know? Just. And you can just see it, where the act outs and the
right.
Actions moves the story forward without a plethora of words driving the story.
Right. Because there's so many different ways you can do comedy that it's just like. I always like to just figure that out. Like, one thing. I can't really do that with storytelling. I don't really do a good job with, but I know so many people like who are starting out who do storytelling, and that's a thing that I envy so much, is being able to do that. For a lot of your stuff, would you say that you do a mostly physical set, or do you have like a variety of different styles that you sort of like to use? Mm-hmm.
If I can incorporate more act outs, visual representation in the story that cuts out a lot of words,
mm-hmm.
that brings more You see lots of your eyes as well. So to only use one part of to me is like, man, I can make the story better. I can do it better.
Right. Do you have like a defined like set that you can go through now? Like, do you feel, like, pretty comfortable with, like, having, like, rearranging different parts in different areas? Or do you usually just go in the same, motion all the time? Okay, I'll try and explain it better. I just meant, do you have, like, a defined, like, set that you usually do, or is it usually very like free flowing usually? Right. Right. Also, I always forget there is sort of a different context in each thing. Like, if you're doing a show, if you're doing a mic, like, it's so different of how you'll put a set together. Right. Have you been able to get on a lot of shows recently?
Recently, yeah. I've been doing a little bit more. Slowed down the couple of times. I've it's been going pretty good.
Right. I figured out everyone feels that way of like wanting to be on more stuff and right. How many times a week are you usually getting up to perform?
Well, I go Sunday. Monday's hard for me to get out, so I do something in VR.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If every other Friday, there's a show in Jersey, Vasilis and Booms in Turnersville, Washington Township.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if I can.
Right. That is a lot, though.
5 days. Like, I try and shoot for at least 2 shows a night.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on Wednesday, I'll go from High Note in Haddonfield, New Jersey, then drive 13 in Delaware and do a set there. But I'm thinking about doing my friend got a Squire Tavern or something in 21st and Market, Philly, going there, then maybe Haddonfield, and then maybe Bar 13, and see if I get 3 in that night.
Right. Yeah, to me it's always like, especially going to a far place like that, I'm always trying to, like, stay in the proper mood socially. Because it can be kind of tough, like, to sit through an open mic for a long time.
It can, but, you can also work on yourself or, look at things differently. Or sometimes, keep an open mind and somebody might say something that might jar your brain with something that you might experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right.
Nothing with
Right. 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 No, it's not, but it's totally worth it. And also it's like it's great when you have those sets where you're like, okay, it finally comes into play. When you've been doing working on something for a long time and you're just like, oh, I finally got that bit down and I finally like got this part of it. Oh yeah. It takes a long time, and the cool thing is that you can go through so many evolutions of jokes and things that just change over time and look at things from different perspectives, too. That's an important thing, too. It's like... do you have, like... this is kind of a nerdy question, I guess, but, like, how much material do you think that you have, like, now? Right. Right. That's great, you know, to have that variety, and I'm sure you don't want to be like, you know, we talked about it earlier, you don't really want to be boxed in as one thing and be like... Have you been able to, like, meet or become friends with any other comics who are trans or non-binary or anything?
I look at it as, are you a good person?
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I just meant if there were other comics, like, in that you've seen, like, is that sort of few and far between, or were you able to find a little bit of people that are...
They're out there.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. Right.
I have friends from all walks of life. So I don't feel like some trans person was shocked that I have as many conservative friends as I do.
Right.
It's nice to meet.
Well, I think one of the things that I've loved about going to closer to that area, to that Philly area, is it seems like it's a lot more centered of different people and different like beliefs and stuff. So that's a really great thing too with comedy, is just seeing people with different viewpoints and then like the cool thing to me is when those people that are, like, conservative are funny. That's a thing that I love. Is, like, you know, if you can take, you know, because, you know, we're all different. Everyone has different viewpoints and opinions and lives. It's just, like, it's cool to see that. I love the different variety. I think variety is a great thing in comedy. Like, the more that you have that, the more the better. Mm-hmm. That's a really, like, that seems like a really healthy way to do that, and a very mature thing to do. Like, I mean, No, because I can imagine, like, being in any type of community, it's, like, not everyone thinks the same way, too, you know. That's a thing that I think is a big misconception, is that, you know, any type of group of people will have a separate opinion on a ton of different topics of... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to hear that. I hope I'm not making you uncomfortable. I just really want, like, to make sure that I'm making people feel comfortable during the podcast. Yeah. Well, the thing that's kind of... Yeah. The thing that I've realized in being friends with a lot of comedians and a lot of darker humor comedians is a lot of humor is, by friend group, meaner than it is in public. So that's always a tough thing. Is like... You can have these relationships where you're like, no, we say terrible things to each other that no one else could say. And that can be very tough to translate to on stage or in front of people. And also, like, I think comedy gets sort of a bad rep for being, like, lowbrow. But a whole lot of it is. And I don't think lowbrow is necessarily a bad thing. Right. Oh yeah, I feel the same way. It's like I go through so many different like things of insecurities and ego. It's such a tough thing because that's the one thing to me is like not putting so much. I have to like be healthy with it and not so much. Like, always try to define myself as a comedian. I'm just starting to put more of myself out there. Right. That's a great thing to be able to do and just, you know, showcase. I love when I can showcase my full personality and just, like, who I am and really talk to the audience like we're friends and like we are close and do that. Do you have anything coming up?
I had a couple things, but I'm not really sure of the dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to check. I'm not close to where I get it. Something in October, something at the end of September.
Which do you prefer being in? Like, which sort of scene do you prefer being in? Like, more of the Philly scene or more of the New Jersey?
I like all scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's Philly has a certain, you know, edge to it. And Jersey has a much different edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you a, like, when you're, like, writing, do you sit down and, like, write, or is it mostly just, like, live your life and come up with sort of stuff? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the cool things. Like, I always envy a lot of comedians who, not really envy, but, like, sometimes I am, like, envious of people who started a little bit older, because I started when I was, like, so young. When I started doing stand-up, I was, like, 22, and it's, like, you know, now I'm 29, and, you know, it's, like, different, but, you know, when you have life experience to talk about, that just, like, gives you so many more options to go through. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they might not relate as much as some of the older demographic, but again, that falls on the comedian to make it right, to do their research, to find out, okay, what was happening then?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's fine with something older. You know, audience get the first punch, but then if you follow up the tag and a younger audience will get it, then now they're in on it too and they can laugh.
Right.
So it definitely helps to do that. And that's something I try to do. I don't know that it's easy. But something I try and do.
Right. It seems like what you're doing is, you know, working. I've seen a little bit of your most recent stuff. I tried to, so it seems like you're doing well. Do you feel like, I know we kind of talked about it a lot, but like, do you feel like a lot more comfortable than when you started?
Every year, you know, I thought I was going to be good the first year, and then look back at the end of the first year.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second year came along, and you look back and you're like, man, I really sucked.
Yeah.
I'm a lot better than I was then. And so, you know, it's a progression.
Yeah.
You don't see the changes right away, but over time, things work themselves out.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I always think about is, like, whenever I got, like, a year and 6 months into doing comedy, I did a lot of bringer shows in New York, and I look back at those videos now, and some of them I like, but most of them I'm just like, how did they let me talk for 6 minutes when I feel like I would do so well now? Can you watch yourself? Are you able to do that, or is it, like, hard to do that?
I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I try to avoid everything, but I think it's not always easy to watch that. It's always easy to watch a great set.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the hardest to watch, but it's the most important.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, because the one thing that's, like, kind of crazy about when you first do your sets and you kind of go through your jokes, I had this where it's, like, you think your jokes are longer than they are sometimes. You're like, oh, this joke is only 5 seconds. I thought it was on stage for 2 minutes. Like... Right. Yeah. I always get afraid that I'm going to, like, lose the audience, like, if I go quiet for too long. I really envy people who can do that, who can sort of take that, like, breath and, like, sort of be good in silence. Like, someone who's great at, like, just having that sort of, like, control and, like, with confrontations and stuff on stage is like Caprio was amazing. Is amazing at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I know we mentioned a few people, but is there anyone who sort of sticks out to you now that you could, like, shout out that you like?
Local?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's fantastic. Right.
Super
yeah.
And you go, wow, like, you know, they're human too. Like,
right.
You know, like, I saw him bomb one time, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Right.
He bombed, but I was like, wow, he's human.
Right. That can be such a crazy thing to see. 'Cause
I've never seen this.
Yeah, because I either have, like, two reactions to that. I either have the same reaction you do, where it's like, oh, wow, this person, like, they go through the same thing that I do with bombing. And then sometimes I'll be like, what the hell is wrong with this crowd? Like, these jokes are really, really great. And it's like... Right.
That made me a stronger comedian because when something wasn't going my way, I was able to fight through it by watching them do that. And then the next time I see people just absolutely slaying, I was like, wow, you know, in the beginning, I would have let something like that eat me up and burn me and just eat my insides up.
Right.
And I think it's some of those friends that you see along the way that truly help you become a better comedian. It's a journey. You don't go down on the journey alone. I guess you're on stage by yourself, but also, you know, the things you pick up from others along the way are vital.
Right. And the cool thing is, people have different ambitions, but we're all sort of on the same thing. We're all doing stand-up. We all know the, like, positives and negatives of it. And that can be really cool, too, of, like, you know, you can get off stage and think, you know, your set wasn't that great, and then people can sort of assure you, like, no, it was better than you thought, or maybe there was, you know... Maybe the laughter, you know, in the room, you know, rooms can be, you know, sometimes not set up correctly, where there's a lot of, like, people in the back that will laugh and you won't hear them laughing. So you'll be like, shit, I had a terrible set. And then your friends can tell you, no, you did well. These people laughed and they liked it.
Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get a laugh. Like, last show was amazing and had the most laughs I ever saw. But most of the nights, 9 out of 10 of those, the laughter is hard to come by.
Right.
You know, like, you'd be luckier to not feel any pain by squeezing a whole lemon in your eye.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think one of the cool things, one of the good things that's kind of cool about comedy is, it's definitely cool to me, is you'll see like a joke sort of by osmosis get better, like, reactions with stuff. Like, all it takes is really one or two people to laugh, and then it sort of becomes contagious, like, in a way that people will laugh, like, I think in a way, like, they're kind of tricked, like, to laugh of, like, the whole room's laughing, I might as well laugh. Like, yeah.